Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul tells us that he was a man whose whole life, whose whole entire life was the gospel of Christ. He believed that gospel. He called it my gospel. He loved that gospel. He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. He preached that gospel. Woe is unto me, he said, if I preach not the gospel. But though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He lived by the gospel. Listen to his words in this first chapter. In verse 1, he says, I'm a servant, a bond servant, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm called to be an apostle and I'm separated to the gospel of God. I'm dedicated to the gospel of God, gospel of his sovereign grace. He said, I'm determined to know nothing, nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I refuse to be entangled, he said, in form or ceremony or traditions of religion or even those things that are good that may distract from Christ, because God sent me not even to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel. And I'm dedicated to it, separated to it, determined above all things to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then in verse 9, he says, God's my witness. God is my witness. Paul often called on God to be his witness to what he's about to say. He's not a man who swears, but is a man of truth who calls upon God to witness to the truth. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Gospel to Paul wasn't just a doctrine, a creed, or a system of truth to be set forth, or argued, or debated, or contrary to error. It was not only with his mouth and tongue he preached the gospel, but he said, with my spirit. With my spirit. I preached the whole counsel of God with my whole soul and spirit, bound to the gospel of his Son. He said, God revealed his Son, not to me, though that be true. He revealed his Son in me. In me. And this is our gospel. This is our message. It can only be preached in its power and truth by those whose spirit and souls have laid hold upon that gospel. With my spirit, I serve God in the gospel of his Son. And then in verse 3, or rather verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. Rome, seat of power, armies, education, government, power. Paul had one message for all people. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female. He believed what Job believed. Naked we came into this world, naked we'll leave it. There's no rich and poor. All are poor. We talk about the rich and the poor. There are no rich. He said, you say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know you're naked, miserable, blind, and poor. There are no rich. All are poor. There are no wise and unwise, not spiritually. All are wise in sin and terribly unwise in spiritual things. Ignorant of God and His righteousness. We don't preach to the rich. There are none. They're all poor and needy. We don't preach to the wise. There are none. They're all ignorant of God and His glory. That's true. There are no good and bad. They're all bad. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that call upon His name. He said, I looked down from heaven to see if there was one righteous man. I found they're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They're no high and low. They're all low. They're all fallen in Adam. They're all dead in sin. Every son of Adam to whom we preach is without help, without hope, without Christ, and without God in this world. Shut up to sovereign mercy. That's the reason he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome, because Rome's no different from Ethiopia. Ethiopia is no different from Corinth. And Corinth's no different from Bethlehem. Bethlehem's no different from Jerusalem. All of sin. And then in verse 16, listen to it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of a crucified Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We live in a most perverted world, my friends. I find more every day that the things that we ought to be ashamed of, people praise. And the things we ought to be praising, people ashamed. That's just a fact. He said in verse 29 of this same chapter, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit these things are worthy of death. That's what the judgment of God says. The soul that sinneth, it'll die. Not only do these things, but have delight and pleasure in reading about them, in watching others do it on the screen, and take pleasure and delight and laud them and praise them. Our heroes are despicable, vile, covetous, wicked, God-hating people. Did you know that? Our heroes. Our sports heroes, our army heroes, and all the rest of them. And the ones we ought to be ashamed of, we laud and make wealthy and watch them perform and buy their music and make them richer. And the people we ought to be praising and rejoicing in them, we're ashamed of them. Ashamed of them. Paul said to young Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And don't be ashamed of me, God's servant. I'm not ashamed, Paul said. Jesus, shall it ever be a man, a mortal man, ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shines through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hope of heaven depends? No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may. When I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fear to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then, I'll boast and brag and praise the Savior's name. And oh, may this my glory be. He's not ashamed of me. Well, these verses, the reason I read them and rejoice in them with you, they sum up my personal feelings, my purpose in life and in death, and all human relationships. I'm dedicated, separated, committed, as you are, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's but one message for all the sons of Adam. God's no respecter of persons, any man's person, position, power, nor shall his servants be. In all seriousness and sobriety, knowing the cost and the consequences, we preach that gospel from the heart. From the heart. Knowing that were it not for God's grace, we wouldn't know the gospel, nor love the gospel, nor preach the gospel. And contrary to being embarrassed, contrary to being ashamed of the gospel, it's our glory, is it not? Our glory. I'm really ashamed of religion, but not of Christ. I'm ashamed of the direction that this nation is going religiously. I'm embarrassed. I'm absolutely embarrassed by what they call God's churches. Embarrassed. I have several questions to ask this morning from this passage of Scripture. The first one of which is this. From whom did we receive this gospel in which we rejoice and that we love? From whom did we receive this gospel? Well, verse 1, Paul says it's the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. In Galatians 1, when he was defending his apostleship, he said in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't receive it of a man. I wasn't taught it by a man. I was taught the gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, this gospel can't be of man. It's an everlasting gospel. Man's not everlasting. God's everlasting. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. This cannot be. This gospel cannot be of man. Our religion is. We'll see that in a few moments, but not the gospel. For it says in Revelation 13:8, listen to this, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, there was a Savior. There was a Lamb slain. There was an atonement. There was a sacrifice purpose and plan before the foundation of the world. This is an everlasting gospel. Can't be of man. Only God is everlasting. Turn a page to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to God. This is the everlasting gospel. It can't be of man. He brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our covenant mercies, the sure mercies of David, are everlasting. Paul said concerning the church, God elected us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So this gospel, where'd we get it? Not from man, it's God's gospel. It's everlasting. And then it can't be of man because it's unchanging. One thing about today's religion, it keeps changing. It keeps changing. They keep changing their message, changing their methods. That which they used to condemn, they don't condemn. That which they used to love, they no longer love. That which used to be commandments is no longer commandments. It changes. But the Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, 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 and all the yesterdays, today and forever. The gifts and calling of God are without change. This gospel can't be for man. It never changes. I was looking through our hymn book, finding the oldest hymns I could find. One I found written in the year about 200 A.D. Same message I'm preaching. Another hymn in the 600 or 700s, in the 8th century. Another in the 12th century. Others in the 17th century, 19th century, 20th century. All the hymns are the same. The words are the same. The gospel's the same. The faith of Abraham is our faith. How long did Abraham live? How long ago did Abraham live? 5,000 years? Well, turn to Galatians. Let's see this. It's unchanging. The faith of Abraham is our faith. The gospel of Abraham is our gospel. The message of Abraham is our message. Christ said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Now look at Galatians 3, verse 7 and 9. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with Abraham. My gospel is Abraham's gospel, Moses' gospel, David's gospel. It's not a new gospel. It's the everlasting gospel. It's the unchanging gospel. God never changes. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham. But preacher, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Christ, the Son of Man, was born in Bethlehem. Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. He's the same Christ. He said, Moses wrote of me. Abraham saw my day. The blood of Abel cries out as a witness. Abel believed Christ. The seed of woman promised to Adam and Eve is Christ. There are different dispensations of revelation, but there's no different dispensation of gospel. Our Lord was pleased to reveal his promises in different ways, through different men, through different types and pictures, and finally, Christ came. of whom all the prophets spake, to whom all the prophets looked, of whom all the prophets wrote, and whom the prophets preached. To him give all the prophets witness. It's not of me, and it's unchanging. And then it can't be of man, can't be, because it condemns man's pride. Religious people are proud. Did you know that? They're arrogant. And their arrogance is offensive. God tells us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us with meekness and fear, not with arrogance and cockiness. But this gospel condemns man's pride. Who makes you to differ? That's what God says. What do you have you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you boast? Why do you glory? Where is boasting? It's annihilated. This gospel condemns man's pride. It condemns man's works. It can't be of man. Religion praises men. No use saying that. It condemns man's works. It says, not by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And yet religion operates on praising the flesh. They praise people. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It condemns man's religious duties. Our Lord said in the judgment, many people are going to say to me, Lord, we preached in your name. We performed the glorious duty of preaching in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We challenged hell in your name. We built many wonderful buildings and glorious works in your name. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. You're workers of iniquity. How can good works be works of iniquity? When they're done in order to gain God's favor. When they're done in order to impress people. When they're done in order to build a righteousness for ourselves. And they're done in order to gain rewards and glory. When they're done for any reason but out of love for God, they're works of iniquity. The plowing of the wicked is abomination to God. That's right. A man who goes out and plows a field and works hard, and clears the new ground and digs out the stumps and plants and grows and reaps and harvests and works with the sweat of his brow is an abomination to God if he doesn't do it out of thanksgiving to God, giving God the glory and for God's praise. It's an abomination. Now that wasn't written by a man. That was not written by a man. That which condemns his pride, which condemns his works, and which condemns his duties and shuts him up to sovereign, particular, effectual mercy from the hand of a holy God through the death of his son. That right? Man didn't write that. It can't be of man. This gospel can't be of man because it's free. That's right. It's free. It's free to all who believe. Turn to Romans 3. Just over a page. Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Freely. By his grace. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Freely. Freely. The religion of men always has strings attached. God will, if you will. God's done all he can do, and that's up to you. You take the first step, and God will meet you. Every proposition, every invitation has strings attached. Something left for you to do. Christ died for all men's sins, but it's up to you. Strings. This gospel is free. It can't be of men. It's free. It's without any works, deeds, or effort on your part. It's the gift of Almighty God. The gift of God. God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of his people, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? No strings attached. Come to Christ, but don't move a hand nor a hair. Don't reach for your pocketbook. Don't reach for your family tree. Don't reach for your record in faithful attendance. Don't reach for your tithe. Don't reach for anything, but reach to him. In my hands no price I bring, except to thy cross, O Lord, I cling. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? These for sin could never atone. Christ must save, and Christ alone. This gospel's for the poor. He could not meet your requirements. He could walk down the aisle. He could not meet your requirements. He couldn't work. He could not meet your requirements. He couldn't be baptized. He could not meet your requirements. He couldn't win a soul. He could not meet your requirements. He couldn't wait for the next meeting. He's dying. There's nothing he could do but look to Christ. Was he saved? My Lord chose him to go with him in the glory. And that's the way you're going to be saved and I'm going to be saved. Without works, without walking, without washing, without witnessing, without waiting. Oh, now is accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Look to Christ. It's not of man. It's not of man. It's of God. What is this gospel? Look back at my text. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. God's gospel. Which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It's the gospel of God in which every attribute of God is glorified. Our Lord prayed, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And Christ glorified God's wisdom. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. Christ glorified God's love. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ. Christ glorified God's righteousness. He is the righteousness of God through the faith of Christ Jesus. He glorified God's justice, enabling God to be just and justify us. He glorified God's sovereignty. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And this gospel of God is the only gospel that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. The only gospel. Look at verse 2. It's the gospel which he promised. What was the first gospel promise? The first gospel promise in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, and God killed the animal and clothed them. That was a picture of Christ. Blood was shed in order for the naked, guilty parties to be clothed. They tried to clothe themselves. They got fig leaves, but their fig leaf clothing would deteriorate and rot and vanish away and could not cover. But God killed an animal and took its skin. And with his skin, he clothed Adam and Eve. That's a picture of the gospel. But then he said to Satan, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, the woman's seed, the virgin seed. You'll bruise his heel, his lower part, his humanity. He suffered on that cross. His body was bruised and bleeding and broken. But he'll crush your head. That's where the power is. That's where the reign is. That's where the government is. You'll bruise his heel. He'll crush your power. He'll destroy you.
When you crush a man's head, you destroy him. When you bruise his heel, he'll limp. But he won't die. But that's the seed of woman. That's the virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He promised it in the scriptures. He promised it in the Passover lamb. He promised it when Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb. He promised it in Isaiah 9:6. A son is given. A child is born. He promised it in Micah 5 when he said, Bethlehem, you're little. You're small among the thousands in Judah, but out of you shall come he whose goings forth have been from everlasting, the Lord Jesus Christ. God promised it. And look at here. He says, it's the gospel of God which he promised. Verse 3, it's concerning his son. I hear people say, this is the gospel quartet. There's no such thing. The gospel is Christ. The gospel is concerning Christ. The gospel is not concerning what you do or I do or anybody else does. The gospel is done. It's finished. It's complete. The gospel is the person and work of Christ. Who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. That's the gospel. It's concerning his son. It's not concerning our response to his son. That's the response to the gospel. It's not concerning our duties and deeds for the son. It's the son. If the son will make you free, you're free. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's what it says here in verse 3. This gospel is concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made. He was made what he wasn't. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made a man. He wasn't a man, he's God. But he became a man. God became a man. The man didn't become God. God became a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made what he wasn't in order that we might be made what we weren't. He, the Son of God, was made the Son of Man that we, the Son of Men, might be made sons of God. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this in verse 4, he was declared to be what he is. He was made to be what he wasn't. He became a man, flesh and blood, to obey this law, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to fulfill the law for us, to have a body in which to die, to have blood which to shed. He had to be made a man. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power, unlimited power. He quickens whom he will. He has all authority over all flesh, over all creatures, that he might give eternal life to those the Father gave him. And he was declared to be the Son of God with according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He's the first begotten from the dead. He's the first man to die and rise to die no more. Lazarus was raised, but he died again. Don't you know, as Lazarus looked sad when they were a little bit sad when he raised him, he got to die again. Christ arose to die no more. Because he lives, you live. It's the gospel concerning his son. It's the only gospel. And then verse 17 of Romans 1 says, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, the holiness of God. You see, the holiness of God is, number one, his essential holiness. Holy and reverent is his name. God is holy, immaculately, infinitely, unchangeably holy.
There's a righteousness God requires of us, which we can't produce. Be ye holy as God is. Can't do it. Be ye perfect, your Father in heaven's perfect. Can't do it.
Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. But then, thank God, there's the righteousness of God, which he purposed, promised, and provided for us in Christ, who came down here in the flesh, born of a woman, made of a woman, to whom God said, be ye perfect, and he was. Be ye holy, and he was. Do not sin, and he didn't. Love God with all your heart, and he did. Tempted in all points as we are, charged, tried, tested, without sin. And he did that, not for himself. He already had a righteousness. He already was holy. But he sanctified himself that we might be sanctified. He did that for us. See, Adam's transgression was charged to me, imputed. Christ's righteousness was charged to me, imputed. In Adam I die, in Christ I live. In Adam I was made sin, in Christ I'm made righteous. By faith, by believing. So, where are you going to find that righteousness that God requires? In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. What's that from faith to faith, from one degree of faith to the other? We all don't have equal understanding and equal faith and equal knowledge, but it grows. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We grow from faith to faith, but that gospel is still the same source of information and instruction and inspiration for the old man as for the new young man. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, wait a minute. Don't come to Christ for salvation and go to Moses, the law, for sanctification. The righteousness of God is not revealed in the law. You can't find it in the law. Not in the law. The righteousness of God is in Christ. And you stay at the cross. That's where you grow. That's where you learn. That's where the gospel, where the grace of God, the righteousness of God is revealed. Don't get beyond Calvary. You'll be in never, never land if you do. Don't get beyond the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Last question, what is it to believe? Abraham believed God. It said he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, turn to Romans 4. Romans 4. I think I can help define faith. I can't define faith, but I can help define it. It says here that Abraham, verse 20, Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, what God said, he was able to perform. Abraham's faith rested in two things: God's word and God's power to do what he said. Now that's where my faith rests. God's word, God's promise is life in Christ, redemption in Christ, righteousness in Christ, a hope of heaven in Christ. That's God's promise. I'm going to look to Christ because God's got the power to do what he said. He's got to believe in God. Just believe in God. He's believe in God. You need not fear the law. Christ honored it. You need not fear judgment. Christ satisfied it. You need not fear death. Christ conquered it. You need not fear the grave. Christ arose. You need not fear condemnation. Christ is your advocate. You need not fear eternity. Your forerunner is already there. He's reserved a place for you. We went to a gathering yesterday.
And that bunch of people there, and I got in there, not early, but not late, but not early as I used to do. And I looked around for a seat. I looked over there, and I saw Adam. And he motioned and said, "I saved you a seat." So I went over and sat down. And my Lord Jesus Christ, this might sound common and vulgar, but he's saving me a seat. That's right, Richard. He's gone before and reserved. You got there earlier. Saved me a seat. Had my name on it. And there's no vacancies in heaven, but there's plenty of room. And there's a name on every seat. All right, let's sing a song.